Alright.
We're on the top of Yidam Beis.
Okay.
Alright. We were discussing, it's actually a continuation of the Gemara we saw a couple weeks ago with the story of Chizkiyahu. That Chizkiyahu was a king, he was very sick, and he was given a very powerful blow with words by the Navi Yishiyahu. He said that you're going to die and you're not going to live, which means you're going to die in this world, then you're not going to live in the future.
Right.
So he said, well, what do you mean? What did I do so bad? He said, because you didn't have any kids. Okay, well, nothing wrong with, if a person can't have kids, they can't have kids. But the problem is that he deliberately did not
have kids.
Right. So he said, what do you mean? There's a reason why I didn't want to have kids, because I saw in Ruach HaKodesh
that they were going to be no good.
They're going to be no good. So he said the very incredible line. He said, "Bahadi kashi rachman alamloch." In fact, you know all God's secrets. What are they to you? You're obligated to fulfill and to do the commandment of what Hashem tells you to do, and whatever Hashem wants, that's what ends up he does. But you don't. Sure. You don't have the right to manipulate and change halacha or change this. You have an obligation to follow the law. So he said, "You know what? You're right. Why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you give me your daughter?" And hopefully Hashem will forgive me. And he said, you're crazy, forget it. No, it's over. Right? Your life is over. So he said, forget it. If you're telling me that, why don't you just get out of here and leave? Because it's not true. A person always has the opportunity for tshuva. A person always has the opportunity to change. Someone might be at the door. Okay. We always have the opportunity to change. Even if a sword is upon the neck, a person should never withhold themselves from asking. Exactly. So that leads up to we're in the very top now on Yudim and Beis. Rav Chanan says in a similar vein, "Afilu b'ha chalomos amr lo adam l'machar v'meis." Even the situation where the master of dreams, the greatest interpreter of dreams, comes up to you. You could maybe even infer, let's say, with someone like Yosef, who would go up to you and say, "Hi, how you doing? You're the Sar HaOpim, you're the baker. Right. Some bad news. You're going to die. Ayim the Atzman Rachman. You're not allowed to withhold yourself from asking for Rachman. Shinemar, because the Pasuk says, Kibro Chalomos V'Havolim V'Devarim Harbei. Kies Elohim Yare. It says in Koheles that a lot of one's dreams in Hevalim, which it's interpreted as false prophets, Devarim Harbe, a lot of words, those are not important. The most important thing is Elohim Yare. You have to fear Hashem. Miyad immediately because of this, Viyatim Chizkiyahu Panav Elohim Yisbal Hashem. He immediately, Chizkiyahu turned his face toward the wall, which some learn that that's how a person should daven, right next to a wall if possible, and he davened. So before we continue, some people explain, brought down by the Minchas Eliyahu, he says, why was Yishiyahu going to say such a thing? Yishiyahu said, you know, you're going to die, and there's no chance in the world you're going to change. You're going to die in this world, you have no Olam Haba, nothing, gone, garnished. And he said, well, give me a chance, give me a daughter. No, you're dead, you're finished. And then all of a sudden he starts davening. We're going to see davening Chizkiyahu with tremendous kavana. So the Minchas Eliyahu beautifully explains Yishiyahu, who's a Navi, how could he not, he didn't know this law that, you know, your moments of dying, Hashem is not going to change. The idea is he wanted to really like put a fire under him, to really inspire him to do tshuva, to daven. If he walked up to him and said, yeah, you know, maybe you should change, who says he's going to do it? But he really gave him a huge zetz in order that hopefully that will inspire him to change.
Exactly.
So that's how he explains the significance of this whole Gemara.
It's interesting that this comes out at this time right after the Parsha about Baal Chalamot.
Right.
And we have here something that says, "Mead returns to the wall in Davins," and we know that Yosef asked the Tsar Mashkim to intercede for him.
Right.
It doesn't say he turned to the wall in Davins. Instead, he asked Adam to help him.
Right.
And we know the result was 2 more years.
So right. He didn't. It wasn't enough to hishtalus. He also had
to have hishtalus too. Of course.
Right. Right. Okay. So what exactly does this mean that he was davening by this kir, by this wall? That's what it literally means. So my kir. Why do we need to know this seemingly unimportant fact? So Amar Hashem Nalakish, it means not that a wall, but it means Mikiros Libo. It means the innermost chambers of his heart. That his avodah was truly an avodah shilei. It was a heartfelt tefillah. Shnemar, as it says in Yirmiyah, it says, may I, oichilo kiros libi. That from my may I, from my innards, could mean stomach, from my insides, I will call out to you, and to my innermost chambers of my heart, I will beseech and pray out to you. So that's perhaps what it means when it says kir, that he just didn't daven a regular
wall.
He was really, right, he was really davening with kavanah. Rav Levi Oimer says, al iski hakir. When he davened, he was davening on a matter of a wall. Or what exactly is al iski hakir? What he was doing was he was trying to tell Hashem that he deserves to be saved. Amar Lafanav, he said to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, ma shenamis she'asasa el kirachas ketan. There was this woman by the name of Shunamis, famous Haftorah, we read, that she couldn't have kids, and she decided, as we're going to see later on in this Amud,
build
some type of house.
Avishag HaShunamet, you know, that was brought to David, to warm him up in his old age.
Oh, this is a different one.
Different one?
Yes. Yeah. Shunamis here is referring to the Shunammite woman, which is basically how she's trans. They don't even talk about her as her real name. The Shunammite woman who built a kir achas katana, a small wall, a small room, specifically for Elisha, that Elisha should be able to have a place to be able to stay when he travels. Right, we're gonna discuss what is it, a wall? Was it an upper chamber? The Gemara is a machloket exactly what was built over there, but at least according to this tefillah of Chizkiyahu, he considered it as a kir achas katana, a small chamber, a small room. And because of that, what happened? She was granted a tremendous, beautiful thing. She had a child. And as we know the story, the child died.
Right.
The child died, and what happened? She went forth to get Elisha. He came back, and Chisa's mother says that he rested completely on this child, his face to his face, eyes to eyes. Yeah, that's how people interpret it. And he says, but no, you caused that this child should live. Why did you give this person who was basically going to die the right to be able to be revived and to live? Because of the zchus of a tiny little room. A little room in a house. Big deal. Okay, that was very nice. But think about this. Abi Abba, my father's father, he decorated and he put silver and gold in the sanctuary, in the Beis HaMikdash. I certainly should be able to live. And Rashi over here says, who is Abi Abba? Who is the grandfather, not literally his grandfather, but who is he a descendant of that he's referring to Abi Abba? So, right, so the Rashi over here in the very beginning top says Shlomo. Shlomo Mel. It's talking about Shlomo, who is the builder of the first Beit HaMikdash. To build one little room, you save someone's life. So think about the schus that I have, my grandfather. Look at him. Certainly I should be able to be saved. Okay. So that's how some people explain the idea of the kir. I mean, the kir is comparing himself to the Shunamis wife, a woman. Okay. The Gemara continues, and it says, again, you can see on the side, it's still Yeshaya. It's the same pair. So this is Chizkiyahu still praying. Zachar na eis asher hesalachti lefanecha. Please remember the way in which I went before you. The MS, I, Chizkiyahu, went with you with truth, believe shalim, wholehearted. That wasn't, a phony. Nevatov einecha asisi. And I did exactly that which was good in your eyes. I did everything that you wanted me to do. So the Gemara asks, what exactly does this mean? He did that which is good in your eyes. So Rav Yehuda Amarav says, Shesamach Geula L'Tfila. He said, you should certainly save my life because what did I do? I davened, said Goal Yisrael, and me after
the order.
Exactly, in the right order. So the Marsha and others discussed. Asks, what do you mean? Big deal. There's Samakul Tefillah. Everyone in the world is Samakul Tefillah. So he saw on the previous blot the words of Tosfos. Exactly. Right? It wasn't just that he was Samakul Tefillah. It was he did it at the perfect time. He did it, at a very good time. And in fact, the Marsha tells us, just want to read this one line, we don't have to see it necessarily inside. The Marsha tells us that what was the significance, how do we know that that's when he davened? Specifically, he must have davened at that point in time. Because the Pasuk says that it was with Tov Asisi, I did something which was good. And he says, there's a hint to this, says the Marsha, a remez, says, we know that must be Netzach Amah, the very beginning of the sun coming out. Or, because when Netzach Amah is when there's light, and or, Chihu Tov Beinecha. I know that light is something which is good in your eyes. How do we know light is something which is good in his eyes? So says the Marsha, quotes the beginning of the Torah, right, V'yar Elokim Esa Or, Ki Tov. Right? God saw the light and was good. So therefore he said, this is how the Marshal learns like Tosfos, that it wasn't that he was just Sonokul Tfila, but even more so, it means that he davened when it was Tov, when the light was coming forth by Netzach Amah, the earliest time, which means he davened, said the Shema before Netz, and then right after Netzach Amah, that's when he davened the Shemona Esri. That's what it means, that he was Sonokul Tfila. So again, why is that a reason that he should necessarily be saved? So we saw on Testament Bays, in the previous blot, we saw the story that a guy contradicted the statement, which I'm going to say in a second. He said, well, it can't be true. I had to go to a king. I had to bring him this hadas, this myrtle to the king. And he said, what do you mean? That was a great thing. You're able to see the king. The Gemara said over there that kol hasamek ul tvila einu nizik kol hayom kuvo. Literally means a person who's Samech Kol Tefila, you're not going to be damaged the entire day. That's what it says. That's what you learn. Eino Nizok Kol Hayom Kulo. So some explain who is it? I believe it's the Beis Yosef brings down that why is he saying, don't kill me because I'm Samech Kol Tefila? Because he's saying, remember that Gemara, remember what we learned. Anyone who's Samech Kol Tefila, Eino Nizok, won't be damaged. So just as long as I'm Samech Kol Tefila, you don't have a right to kill me. You don't have the right to take my life. That's how some people interpret it. That's one explanation. That's one thing, perhaps, that he did which was good. Rav Levi says a different explanation, which most medical doctors get very angry when I read the next three words, but that's too bad. I have to read what the Gemara says. Shiganas Sefer Refuos. That what did he do? He hid this book of Refuos, which means that it was some type of medical journals, whatever, which gave you all the different medications.
Natural healing properties.
Exactly. So why was that such a good thing? So the top Rashi says, the one right after one we saw already, Kidei Shiavak Shirachmim. His concern was people are not going to turn to Hashem that they should get healthy.
Just turn to the book.
Right. He did. Chizkiyahu himself. And we're going to see, the Gemara is going to quote this again. But that's what he did. He hid this book. So he was turning to Hashem and said, why is this such a great thing? And what does one have to do with the other? So it makes a lot of sense. Because the whole idea of hiding the Sefer Refuos is now what is a person able to do?
Right.
Now you have to daven to Hashem. That's why the Gemara says, either you're Samakul Tfilah, which means I was davening to you, or I hid the book of Refuos, which also means I'm davening to you. Right? I don't have this book. I don't have this opportunity just to heal myself by reading a book. So therefore, that's the reason why you should spare me. You should save me. Alright. So that's how some explain. Alright. Tana Rabbanan. Let's end with that little story. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara continues, and since we were already talking about Chizkiyahu, this Melech, we discussed six things that he did. Shisha Devarim, Asa Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Chizkiyahu did three things. Al Gimel Hodolo, three things the Chachamim agreed to. They felt that the decision he made, the call that he made, was a good one. The Al Gimel Lo Hodolo. And on three things, they were not so satisfied. Al Gimel Hodolo, so what are the three things that he did that the Chachamim were happy that he did? So we already learned the first one in the Gemara. One was Gana Sefer Refuos, so Hodolo. He hid the Sefer Refuos, which everyone else would be able to just read and be able to be healed. So that was something they were happy with. The second thing that he did, which was perhaps a little unusual, in a difficult call to have made, is Kitid Nachash and Nechoshes. He destroyed the Nachash and Nechoshes Vahodolo, the copper snake in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. That he also did the same thing. He was able to, instead of having people look at it, and they were, some explained that this became an Avodah Zarah. What was that?
It's a healing thing that could
do. Oh, right. So some explained, we see that they're really the exact same thing. One is he hid the Sefer Refuos, the Marsha explained, and so too the Nachash Nechoshes, because.
What? Kite, he destroyed?
That's what it means, yeah.
Chapter.
Basically, yeah. And it's brought down that it brought down the Marsha, that the whole idea of the nation of the Nachash Nechoshes, which is actually discussed in the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, I believe, is that they would look up, just like the story of the Malek, when Moshe would lift up his hands, or Moshe's hands, that's all of a sudden the Jewish people would be victorious. It's not because his hands were up or down, it's because when people looked at him, they looked at his hands, and they looked upward toward the Shemayim, and they were able to connect themselves, Klapi Shemayim, and that's how they were victorious. So it's the same thing by Nachash Nechoshes. It wasn't the snake that healed, but by looking upward toward the snake, you look up to the heavens, to the sky, which represents the heavens, because the heavens is spiritual. And they would look at this, and that's a way that they would realize that it wasn't the snake. So the Marsha quotes, Hanes she'en hanachash meimis, ela ha'chid meimis. This is what Gemara actually, later on, we're going to see. It's not the snake that kills, rather, it's the person's sins that cause the person to be killed. So too, the same thing. The Nachash Nechoshes is not which heals a person. It's their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, he destroyed this just like he hid the Sefer of Uos. I guess the question is, why didn't he destroy the Sefer of Uos? Why didn't he hide it? I don't know. I guess...
Yeah, I wish I had.
Well, that's right.
I've done a lot.
So, fine. Apparently, probably the Sefer of Uos is not as bad as the Nachash Nechoshes, which became Avodah Zarah. The other one was more of an issue, the person's one daven.
Maybe because the Nachash Nechoshes was more something zmanit, and the zman was over, and
right.
He was keeping it, and right. The Sefer was something that would be a valuable knowledge once people recognize it as matnat Hashem.
That's right. Because that's exactly right, because it says that the idea of the Nachash Nechoshes was supposed to be just like the Sansenes Haman, the container which had the mana and the mata, the Aaron staff, all they were like as a zikaron of what happened, but ended up people was misused. I guess that's the idea.
And yet that lives on as the emblem of medicine.
The Nachash Nechoshes. Right. And what do people, when people look at that,
it's
what are they thinking?
It's a symbol of medicine.
It's a symbol of medicine.
It's symbolic. They don't think that the Kedushas heals somebody, but it's a symbol of healing.
Right. That's right. It is an interesting thing that that's what's chosen. But okay. So that was the second thing. And then finally, Gira Atzmois Ovim Almita Shel Chavolin Vahodolo. This is a little bit bizarre, that what he did was he dragged the bones of his father on a mat of a rope. And they were very happy with that, that they were, he was Mavaz and he completely disgraced Kovid Mess. Why was that such a great thing? Because after all, you're not supposed to do that. So Rashi says over here, Mavisha Hay Rasha, because Chizkiyahu's father,
Achaz, was a Rasha.
Was a Rasha, right? V'lo noheg bo kavod b'kurasa. He didn't want to show proper respect in his burial. Lo tzia kahoygin b'mita zahav b'kesef. Take him out in a beautiful mat of gold, casket of gold and silver. So they were happy. Or Hodolo, they agreed that that was a good thing, even though it was really not appropriate to lack a covet mess. But by showing covet to a Rasha, that was his call. So those are three things that they were Hodolo. Now give a little Hodolo. The three things that they were not happy with. Sasam Me Gichay. One of the things that he did was he closed up the Me Gichay, which was like a well of water, that which is brought down in Rashi. He did this because of Malke Ashur, who was his enemy, he wanted to cut off their water supply, and Rashi says, not the same. Gichon is not referring to the waterways, which is in Israel, but rather it's talking about a little small well. That's not something which he should have done, to withhold water from this nation. That's one thing he did, which he should have done. Katzas Dalsleis Hechel, B'shagum Melch Ashur. This is the same Melch Ashur he had problems with, but he wanted to be able to appease him at a certain point of his life. So he, as a token of his appreciation, he removed the doors of the Heichel, of the Beis HaMikdash, to send as some type of a gift to Melech Ashur, and that's not something which they felt was
appropriate.
And the last thing that he did in his life that the Chachamim were not happy with is Avar Nisan B'Nisan. I'm not exactly sure the significance why he did this, but he seemingly he made, instead of a second Adar, another Vet, he made the second Nisan. Which the Gemara's going to say that's not, of course, what he did. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? How could Chizkiyahu have made that mistake? Mi leis lehu Chizkiyahu, doesn't Chizkiyahu know of the Pasuk HaChodesh HaZelechem Rosh Chodashim, that this is the month of the first months, which means the first month, of course, is the month of Nisan, as the Torah describes it. Tishrei is the seventh month. So Nisan is the Chodesh HaZelechem Rosh Chodashim, is the first. Zeh Nisan, Ve'en Ha'achar Nisan. There's only one Nisan. He can't have a second Nisan when he doesn't know that Pasuk. No. Of course, he did not make, Chizkiyahu did not make a second Nisan. He made a second Adar. The problem was that when he made, you can only make an other bet while it's still Adar. You can't make an other bet when it's potentially already going to be Nisan. Right? So what I was going to say right here. Elotav b'Shmuel. What does Shmuel say? B'Shmuel, in Mavre as a Shanam b'yom shloshim shel Adar. You're not allowed to make an Ibur Yor. You can't make an extra 13th month on the 30th day of Adar. Why? What's the big deal, the 30th day of Adar? Because we know it depends. If there's one day or 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, well, is because of, is it 29 days on the month before or 30 days? So the 30th day could already potentially be the next month, the first of the next month, or the first day of Nisan. The 29th, the 29th of Adar, the 30th day of Adar, if Aden would have come and testified that it was a new moon, then Taki would no longer be Adar, would be a new month, it would be a Nisan. So what did Shmuel say? You can't do it on the 30th day of Hoyab Royalukai Nisan. Because it's Shayach, it's possible that the Aden are going to come, they're going to testify that it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and they saw the new moon. So Yechezkel held, unlike Shmuel, which he should have disagreed with, Hoyab Royalukai Nisan, I don't hold to such a shot. And therefore, I don't care, I can still make a second month of Adar, even though it's already the 30th day of Adar, because the Adam didn't come. Had they come, then there would have been one thing. They didn't come. So therefore, it's still Adar, and therefore I'm allowed to make an other bet. So they didn't agree to that. Okay.
Wouldn't you say that's a very different, of the three things, this is very different. I mean, the first two have to do with physical actions, that he did something and changed something, or gave away something from the mikdash, which should have been given away, and so on and so forth.
Right.
This third thing is an edict, you
right.
know, that he made a ruling. It's a ruling, really. It's,
right.
it's very different than the others.
No, it definitely is. It's true. But the question is, which one was the most potentially detrimental? To mess around with the calendars, the whole story of the Avodah, to take away Rosh Chodesh.
Mess around, it can make people over on the Pesach, and
right.
it could do a lot of things, but
right.
you know, it's a very dangerous thing, but still in all, it's an edict, and if he's the government is the one that's going to propose edicts that, for whatever reason, and usually you would assume that a government does something like that for financial reasons, that they want more taxes for that year or
right.
something like that.
Right. I mean, but the question is, when do you, as a politician, have the right to make decisions if it's going to contradict halacha? When are you supposed to receive advice?
The accountant should have figured out that he has to do that a day earlier.
Right. That was, he missed the deadline, but
right.
he still did it.
Yeah.
That little hoidalos, I didn't agree to that. Okay. So that's Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu seemingly was a pretty decent guy, and even when he davened, you know, he davened with a tremendous kavanah. But the Gemara says that he didn't do everything perfectly, even when he davened. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Mishum, Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, Kol HaToyla B'Schus Atzmo, interesting piece of Gemara over here. Anyone who literally hangs upon, when he needs something, his own zechut, he says, I need to be answered because I am a great tzaddik. I deserve this. So the Gemara says that anyone is being toil b'schus atzmo, toil and lo b'schus acherim. When you receive that thing that you're asking for, the reason why it happened was not Hashem didn't give it to you because of your own zechus, but zechus acherim, because of someone else. And anyone who says, I don't really deserve to be answered, because who am I? Answer me because of schosavos, or whatever it may be, toilin lo b'schosatzma. Then Hashem will look at such a person and answer him even on his own merit. Which obviously, the simplistic level is that if you're an onav, you're a humble person, so you're looking, who am I? Schosavos, whatever. When you're a gaiva, you're a bal gaiva, you think you're great, but the truth is you're just deceiving yourself. It's only based on other people's merits that you have what you have.
Because Hiyahu, he's kind of in a quandary there. So we just mentioned Achaz,
right.
So how is he going to go talking about Skusava? You go back generations before, yes.
Right.
He did, and he talked about Shlomo.
Right, interesting.
But Skusava for him is kind of a weak point.
Right. It's very true. But what's a very good point you made also is the Gemara is going to end up kind of bashing Chizkiyahu that he was relying on his own schut. But the truth is, he already meant, maybe you can say it's not according to this one pshat.
But one guess is that
he really was with schut acherim. Right. So this is it's an interesting, not looking at him a little bit disfavorably. So the Gemara says like this: how do we see both sides of the coin? First of all, we have Moshe was told b'schus acherim. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was in Mispal, he saw the Bnei Israel and goofed again. So what did he do in order that the Jewish people should be saved? He didn't say, save them because of me. Shnemar, he said, Zachar Avraham Yitzchak Yisrael Avdecha. He said, remember the Avos. Tolu lo b'schus atzmo. So when Hashem was moichel the Bnei Israel for the mistakes, it was because of Moshe. Shnemar, as it says, V'yomer, that Hashem said, Hashmidam, I would have destroyed the Jewish people. Luli Moshe Bechira, Omid Betheretz, if it wasn't for the great Moshe who stood in the breach, who stood in front of me to respond, L'fana L'hashem Chamasa, in order to remove my wrath, my anger upon the Jewish people. So we see those Moshe didn't think much of himself. He said, look at Chosavos, and Hashem said, you know what? Because of yourself. Fine. And then, Chamasu Mahashkas. However, Chizkiyahu told us Chosatzma. According to this Girsa of the Gemara, Chizkiyahu was the one that said, I deserve to live because of me. Dichsiv Zachana Esasher Hesalach Lefanecha. Remember the way I walked in front of you. I'm such a great person. I hid the Sefer Refuos. I'm such a great person. I'm so good with tefillah. You should save my life. Tanulo b'schus acherim. So how was it that he was merited that he could taka live, that he didn't die? Shemar, it was because of the schus acherim. Because the pasuk says, v'gnisi el ir hazos v'oshia l'meni l'man David avdi. He said that you will be protected from the city and there will be salvation for because of me, as well as because of David, my servant. So it's not b'schus, because of your z'chus,
because
of David. Behind you, Domir Rabbi Yishuv and Levi. Domir Yishuv and Levi, it says, Ma'nechsid. What does it mean in the Pasuk? Still, you can see it on the Torah, or as he shy, it's the same area, it's the same parrot. Hine l'sholom mar limar. That it'll be, even at a time of peace, Marley Mar, it'll be a bitter to me, a tremendous bitterness. Why is there such bitterness? You're in a time of peace. It's a good time. Says the Gemara, that feel b'shah sheshigur lo kodesh baruch hu shalom mar halo. Even a time when Hashem gave him peace, that he was not going to die, it was bitter to him. Because he realized that he really wasn't deserving of those of that merit. So one of the things that Chizkiyahu said was that I should be answered because of the schus of Shlomo Melech. After all, look at this Shunamit woman. All she did was build a small little area, a kiv. So the Gemara now asks, what exactly was he talking about? What happened over there? So that's what the Gemara says now. Nasem na alisa kir katana. Please make an aliyah, which sounds like an attic, an upper floor. Kir Katana, a small wall. So Rabbi Shmuel, the Machlokes, what exactly was meant to be? Chad Omer Aliyah Purua Haisa B'Kirua. Some say We don't know who says what, but Rav and Shmuel argue. One says that the room which was set up for Elisha was an open room, was on the top floor. The problem was that it was, there was no roof. So Keruah, they put a roof on it. So that's what they did. There was already a room which had walls and everything.
Like a porch.
Exactly.
So had a ceiling to it.
Yeah, exactly. The Chadom, one says, no, Achsadra Gedoyel Hay, so it was a large like porch, so she's not an Achsadra. The Chalku Lashnayim, and they divided it into two. So they had a large room, and they said, you know what, instead of this huge room, we'll put a wall, and therefore that one of the rooms, now small room, will be for Elisha. So this is the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. So what's the svar or the logic of their Machlokes on either side? So the Gemara asks like this. This is Bishlam Lamadiyamar Sadur. I can understand the one who said that there was actually a large area. And what did they build? What did they construct? A wall. Well, that makes sense. How did it say Kir? That's why the Torah said, that's why it says that they built a Kir, a wall. Elamad the Armalia, the one who says that there was just, it was already a walled area upstairs, my Kir. It doesn't, they didn't put a wall. So the Gemara says, doesn't mean necessarily a wall as we know it, which is vertical. Shikirua rather means shikirua, that it was covered, which means that a wall covers certain areas. And so too, that's what the roof did. It was also, you can use that word also to indicate that it was a roof. Okay, so that's not really much of a question. But the Gemara asks now, according to the other explanation, doesn't make sense. I understand when it talks about the upper floor. That's why it says, Aliyat Kir, which sounds like it was upstairs. It was a porch. My Aliyat, what does that mean? It says, Ma'ula Shibabatim. It doesn't mean it was the upper floor, but it means it was Ma'ula Shibabatim. It was one of the nicest of their rooms. It was a nice house. They had a nice house, but they chose the nicest place for their guests, which is interesting. Most times, you have your guest room is
the worst room.
The worst room, because who else? How often do you have a guest?
How often do you use it? Once,
twice. Right. But but when it comes to true achdasas arichin, is for your guests. It should be ma'ula shibabatim. But nasim lo sham mita v'shulchan v'kisei u'menorah. So let's say if in your house, in your guest room, you have these things: a mita, they put their nice little bed; a shulchan, a table, because you know he's a scholar, he probably studies. A kisei, a chair, and a menorah, a lamp, right? A little candles for him to learn or to read. So Omer by the Tamar Yitzchak Oroitzel Yehanos. So that took a lot. It was expensive. They had to go to their, you know, to the mall to buy all this furniture. So it says Rav Yitzchak, Haroitzel Yehanos Yehanik Elish. A person wants to derive benefit from other people. There's nothing wrong with doing that. After all, Elisha did it. Elisha used to stay at this person's house and enjoy staying there. B'sheinu roitzel hanos al yehana kishuam. A person is haramasi. If you want to be a person that doesn't want to go into people's homes, to sleep in their homes, or to eat at their homes, you do not have to do that, because Shmuel didn't do that either. Because the pasuk says, in toward the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, in Shneamar it says, that Shmuel would always travel back to Ramat, because there it is his house. What does that mean? That everyone, we already know that that's where he lived. It says in Sefer Shmuel many times that's his city. That means that any place that he went, that's where his house was. So home was where he hung his hat, wherever he was. And some explain, as I explained when we were in Ozoni, this Perek Zion and Shmuel Aleph, is that both of them were engaged in Kiruv. Both of them were involved in outreach. When it came to one person, when it came to Elisha, he felt it was more productive to actually be in the house, to be able to interact with them, and to have meals with them, and to stay there. That was a way to be able to cultivate a relationship. For Shmuel, Shmuel had difficulties because he had children that unfortunately were not going on the derech. They didn't act properly. One thing that it says in Shmuel is that they stationed themselves in one place. They never used to travel and help other people. Instead, they used to charge all these different fees for giving up sock. There was nothing necessarily wrong with that, but It was frowned upon. So for him, when Shmuel would go, he used to not just stay in one place. He used to just travel all over the place. All the time. He was never in one place. In some sense, how he aged prematurely, that he was concerned that if he would stay at someone's house, and he would eat in their house and sleep there, and the next morning he was the dayan, he was the posek, so he's going to end up giving biased. He's not going to be able. Right, he's not going to be able to say things. Shmuel was a Nazir, yeah.
So he's a Nazir, something of an ascetic, you know, and it's going to be very difficult for him to come in somebody's house. They have, every time they have a guest, they have wine.
Well, they have special bed made with nails.
Well, we hope not. But.
Right, so that's how some people explain this, that Shmuel had two issues. His issue was, how is he able to be Makarif people? So by him going to someone's house, Ibai Elisha didn't matter. But for someone like Shmuel, who was, you know, involved in giving, you know, halacha, and telling people, yes, you can do this, this person owes you money, whatever. If he was involved in relationships, people would think he's like, yeah, Bedavar, he's connected, and he'll end up being corrupt. He's like taking bribes. Right. So therefore, he ended up just not having, doing anything, not staying at anyone's home. And therefore, this way, he was able to inspire people in that way. Okay. Let's continue for a few more moments. The Gemara continues and says like this. Betomer El Isha, that she said to her husband, this is the Shunammite woman, Hine no yadati ki ish elokim kadoshu. Now I know that you are
a holy man.
You're a holy man. Okay? And the pasuk concludes Avar alein tamid. Right? That's what we're gonna end up seeing. Ki kadoshu, he's holy Avar alein tamid, because he constantly comes to us all the time. That's what it means. And I can't remember who said it, but there was a story, I think it was in Neri Yisrael, I heard this about 20 years ago, that there was some Bachrim that habitually would miss davening. They just would never come to shul, they would never come. And they're yeshiva guys, you know, like, you know, what excuse do you have, right? So they used to come, you know, at the end of davening, they used to not come at all. So the Rosh Yeshiva said, I need to set up and call them over. And they realized that they were in huge trouble. So he called them all over, and there was you know, a lot of people around. And he said, I want to let you guys know that you are holy. And they're like, what are you talking about? Like, you're kadosh, you're holy. And they're like, what do you mean, Rabbi? I mean, I know what you're trying to do. You're making it. We missed davening. What do you mean we're holy? He says, how could you disagree with what the pasuk says? It says clearly that what did the Shunammite woman say? She said, ki kadoshu, Avar Aleinu Tamid. Anyone who is holy must be that they come by Aleinu. They come at the very end of Davening. That was a little joke. Kadoshu is Avar Aleinu Tamid. You constantly come by Aleinu. Alright. Anyway, so this is what she said to her husband, that he is Kadosh. Why did she say it? So Amar Yosi Barab Chanina, Mikan She'ish Makeres Ba'orchin Yosim and Ish. We can learn from here that women have a greater level of being insightfulness, of being able to determine the greatness of status of their guests more than their husbands do. And the Marsha says something which we probably wouldn't say in the year 2006. The Marsha says, "Lefi Shaisha Mutsuyev Abayis Yoser Min Ha'ish." Because women are more commonly found at home than the men. As it says, the greatest thing about women is that when they give tzedakah to the poor, we give money, they can actually give food because they're home to be able to give the food when they knock on the doors. So that's how the Marsha explains why that's so. But some also translate this as women's intuition. This is a proof of women's intuition. They're able to read a person more than anyone else. Kadoshu. Right, he's holy. How did she know that he was a holy man? How did she know that Elisha was a holy guy? So there's two reasons. The first one is a little bit nicer. Rav Shmuel Chadayim, everyone says, Shor Asa Zvub Oiver El Shulchan, that she never saw a fly passing by on her table. So what? So the Chidah explains that what's the significance of this. The Chidah tells us that apparently there was a lot of flies flying around in her house, because the Gemara said that she did not see a zvuv al shulchano, a fly by the table.
She kept it very clean.
But it's what's the significance of this? So why does that mean you're holy? So he says, because the shulchano kadosh kimizbeach, exactly. That it's just like the mizbeach. That just like we find, as the Mefarshim explained, Marshall talks about this, that the mizbeach, even though there was meat, I mean, it's a base of mikdash. You think it is the holy, holy place. But if you think about it, what's there? A bunch of dead animals, blood all over the place. What? That's really what it
is.
You would think it should be infested with flies, but we know that one of the nisim was there's no flies in the Beis HaMikdash, even though it should have been. So they said that this is the pshat, that she saw not a single zvuv over al shulchan. There was no flies anywhere by the table, which again some people are masbir that what do you mean? There's no flies in anyone's house. Apparently her house was infested with bugs, but for some reason by the table there was nothing. So it must show that his greatness. Therefore, the table was comparable to the Mizbeach. Our Shulchan nowadays could be comparable to the Mizbeach. And that was the mile of the greatness of Elisha. Fine. V'chado yimer, some say, Sedin shel pishnan hetziah al mitasai. This may, perhaps, would make more sense why the woman would know this. She put sheets on the bed. Blurasa carry love. And even though he slept there, he did not produce carry upon them. Then the Gemara continues and says, Kadosh, who? He is holy. So I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, who Kadosh? Only he, Elisha, was holy. Misharasal Enu Kadosh. However, his servant that accompanied Elisha, we're going to see his Gechazi, he was not a holy man. Shnevar is the Pasuk, says, Vigash Gechazi, Ladafa, that Gechazi approached her and pushed her, or grabbed hold of her. It says that when Gehazi went toward her, he accidentally, it's explained inadvertently, grabbed hold of her dadi, of her breasts. And therefore, that obviously showed a lack of kedusha, of holiness, on Gehazi's part. We'll see this next line, so we'll finish this piece. Oiver aleinu tamid. So those are the last words of the pasuk, right, that you pay. Constantly is by us. Rabbi Yisrael Kanina, Mishum Rabbi Lezer, Ben Yaakov, Kol Hamarach Tam Lechokha, Mesof Beso, anyone who brings in a scholar into his home as a guest, and he derives benefit from these possessions, Malav HaKosav Ki'ilu Makrib Tamidim, it's considered as though you brought a carbon, which again connects to the idea of the Shulchan is like the, it's not just the Shulchan, but the Mizbeach. So by bringing the Talmud Chacham at your Shulchan and helping him and providing food for him, you're going to elevate the status of your Shulchan to the great level of the Mizbeach. Alright, stop here.